This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds. Welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters. And this week, we have one heck of an experience. Godzilla, King of the Monsters in 4K, Dolby Atmos. Usually I wait until I get to the part of the podcast where I talk about the movie that I'm featuring, but I can't wait. This movie is absolutely incredible. Probably my favorite home theater movie. I'm having trouble beating it in my head right now. I'm thinking, what could possibly be better than this? Picture's not the best, but we'll get to all of that. But I am so excited for this movie. I put so much into reviewing this movie. It's ridiculous. The most scenes I've ever done for a movie, over 50. I'm going to try to go through them quick, but it's an awesome. So let's get to the podcast. Let's get into it. And so we can get through this, cause it's a double feature week, people. I've never done one of those before either. And it just happens to fall on probably the longest movie that I'll ever do. But my name is DJ. You can reach me on Twitter. And let me see. Let me get these pictures going up here. You can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And you can follow me on the website as well, BrightsideHomeTheater.com. And you can leave comments underneath each episode or under each featured theater. And like I say every week, please, most important, go to the website and if you're going to leave a comment under the featured theaters. People do a lot of hard work to these theaters, work on them very hard, and they appreciate any comments and suggestions and anything. Just comments on the featured theaters is greatly appreciated. Patreon, I am also on Patreon, and you can follow me on Patreon and support the podcast monetarily by donating $1 a month. You could sign up and they'll take $1 a month and they'll give it part of it to me and they take some for themselves. But you could sign up by going to patreon.com and search Brightside Home Theater. You'll find me, or you can go to my website, click on the red button, how to subscribe. It'll take you right there. You sign up and you can start at the minimum's $1 all the way up to infinity, which it feels like this podcast is going to be. But that anything is greatly appreciated, but it is not required. Absolutely not. And this week we had no new Patreon supporters. That's okay. I'm hanging there at 12, so nobody dropped out. Hey, hashtag Brightside. Thank you very much. Thank you to all 12 of my Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. All the support from everybody. And speaking of support from everybody, we are on Twitter. Of course, that's where most of the conversations take place. And we have new Twitter followers this week. Three new Twitter followers. Home Theater Hobbyist, Todd Girdis, G-I-R-D-I-S. And we also have Blockbuster Rob. Thank you for joining us on Twitter. Take a look around. Thank you for joining the community. Take a look around. Enjoy yourselves. Make yourselves at home. And then from there, we will go to movies and scenes of the week. This week, we have, what do we have this week? We have, Making Waves, brought to us from Steve Ratcliffe on Twitter. He says, Brightside HT, good documentary if you're into movie sound. I was so busy this, I was really excited to get to this, but I was so busy this week, I didn't get a chance. So I'm very much looking forward to it. When I hear the podcast back, I will be making notes again. I will put it in my reminders and check that out. The Art of Cinematic Sound. Sounds really cool. A film by Midge Costin. Looks cool. We also have Formula One Drive to Survive, brought to us from Steve George. He says, at Brightside HT, a definite recommendation from me, DJ. If you haven't gone back to it since season one, I highly recommend it. And he sent along four images, and these are the four images that he sent along. Pretty cool. Really nice images. I do remember season one was, it's fantastic. It's like, I can't even remember it, but my son and I watched it, the documentary. Steve's the one that pointed out to me then. My mind is mush right now. I really need my notes today. But yeah, this Formula One Drive to Survive, 4K video, Atmos sound, basically, I mean, it's like, I said, my mind is mush. I can't remember anything. But yeah, it's shot very well. I mean, just looking at these images, you could see that I'm putting up on YouTube, and they're not the best, but it looks fantastic. Really does. And moving on from there, we have Twitter and email comments. First one comes from Martin D. He says, hi, DJ. Just listened to your episode with Tom Andrey, and in case you missed it, here is a review from the UK about the Snyder Cut. In short, the critic loved it. And I have an image up here, and it's the most improved director's cut in the history of Hollywood. I actually couldn't agree more. I said it last week. I'll talk about it briefly right here. I think the Snyder Cut is probably the biggest streaming event in history. And part of that is because it is the greatest improvement in a director's cut in the history of Hollywood. You think of all the director's cuts out there and how much they mostly added a half hour, and it maybe improved the movie, but maybe not dramatically. So not really sure. Like, if it's hard to think of something, especially with the recency bias, it's hard to think of something that was a bigger deal, that was a bigger improvement. And I don't blame Joss Whedon at all. I think Joss Whedon did exactly what the studio wanted them to do. And that is why Snyder had to step away, is he had so much going on in his personal life, especially, that he didn't have the fortitude to fight the studio to get this. And obviously, this Snyder Cut is 4 hours. You could not, I mean, try to make this movie in 2.5 hours. Maybe you can cut down on some of the slow-mo scenes. Maybe you could cut back on some of the development. You could have shortened a few things here and there and still came out with the same type of movie. But this is, I loved every second of it, literally every second of the 4 hours, because I thought it added to each character, and there was time limit free. He could just put in everything. And it's like, I saw a clip today, somebody saying that there's the black and white version, and in the article it said, I wonder if there's any more footage. I'm like, more? Like, how much more? What wasn't left on the floor? You know, what wasn't picked up off the floor? So, all right. But yeah, Snyder Cut, absolutely awesome. If you want to hear more about that, my buddy and I, John, are going to be talking about it on Brightside Chat. And that podcast came out, as this one's coming out, came out actually yesterday, Thursday, the 25th. So you can check that out on Brightside Chat, and it'll probably be titled The Snyder Cut, because that's the biggest conversation we're going to have. We talk comic books over there and everything. So, but I'll have way more talk about that in depth. Really looking forward to that. Okay, moving on. We have an email from Carl, the Hisense 120-inch short throw projector and ambient lighting screen for 5K. Pretty cool. 120-inch. That's a pretty big screen for $5,000, including the screen, the projector, everything like that. Sounds good to me. I'm not sure that in my opinion, I haven't seen them in action. I know Ara has one from HT Guys. I haven't seen one in action, but I'm not sure that they can get the accuracy that a standard projector can do. Talking about colors, black levels, everything like that. To me, it's still a little bit gimmicky, this, you know, short throw. I know they're getting better, but they are a fantastic idea for a lit room, you know, where you don't have absolute control of lighting. But in a in a theater like mine, where it's, I have absolute control of the lighting, I don't know if this would be as good of an image, I should say. So I don't like to talk bad about things, so I'm having a hard time with that, but I'm not crazy about those. But in a big living room with windows open and lights on and stuff, that's the best way to get an image that big. So I will say that. Okay, moving on. Byron Stocks at Byron Stocks on Twitter says, watched it again, talking about Snyder Cut. Watched it again and loved it just as much. Was less distracted by 4:3. Oh, and I tried it at plus 5 dB, like you said. I couldn't hang there for long, haha. Plus dB was my threshold of pain, lol. It's funny, but that one extra dB was pushing it a bit too much for me. Looking forward to your review. So, my review on this, like I said in last week, it will definitely be coming when the 4K disc comes out. Everything else is just here. It's going to be like just what my opinion is so far, because I don't want to get into just because it's streaming and breaking it down scene by scene. But like I said last week, at plus 5 dB, I thought that felt like it was reference level. Felt pretty dynamic, Snyder Cut, that is. And I know there's more room for dynamicism there. I know that how good it sounded streaming through HBO Max was really pretty incredible at plus 5 dB. So when we get this in reference level, there'll be, you know, deeper deeps and higher highs and all the gradations in between of sound that we can get. So I'm really looking forward to that, because it was really nice streaming. And when you take out all that compression and you just get nice clean sound, I really can't wait. And I haven't even started talking about the picture, because I thought the picture looked really good in 4K on streaming. So this image it's going to be, you know, Game of Thrones-esque, where we saw it streaming and then boom, what this is going to be look like on a 4K disc, and Lord of the Rings-ish. I hope they put all of the, you know, effort into that video that it deserves, because especially the way Zack Snyder shoots things, and tone-wise and color-wise, everything means so much that I'll be very interested to see how good this disc is going to look. I can't imagine that it's not going to. Okay, all right. Moving on to the next one, we have from Adriano the Nerd talking about Atomic Blonde in 4K. He says, this movie didn't click for me originally. I enjoyed the action, but overall thought it was a forgettable story. But now, after listening to the podcast, I want to go back and revisit as soon as I get the chance. Thank you, Adriano. That is my goal here. No, that is not my goal here. My goal here is to just have fun talking about the movies that I love to talk about. And you guys are, sorry, you're the outlet. Because my wife is loving it. She's seeing I'm so excited about this. Comments about it all the time. And it's because of you guys I get to talk about it. But I'm glad people are responding to it. I'm glad people like Adriano and Ariel, who also tweeted in response to Adriano, I pretty much felt the same way, he says. I was listening to the podcast on my drive home from work and immediately put it in my player. Thank you, DJ, for taking movies to a new level of paying attention to the artistry on sound design and cinematography. Keep up the fantastic work. And thanks, Ariel. That was awesome. Ariel Alanas 14 on at Ariel Alanas 14 on Twitter. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. That was I've got an outlet. Like I said, it's pretty cool to be able to do this every week now and have people reply and respond in this way. And people, they get me. They really get me. You know, you guys understand, because you have the same passion. And I have an outlet. I have this podcast so I can tell everybody about it. And hopefully I'm bringing new things, and this podcast this week is a lot of new things, because most of the stuff I'm going to talk about is obvious. I tried to bring some new stuff to it. Lots of emails this week. Lots and lots of emails this week. I can't get to all of them. I apologize. But let me look it up really quick. I'll look up a couple of them just to mention a couple of names. G. Cornell, we had a great conversation this week. Carl, we had some conversations talking about vinyl. He sent an email about the first time listening back to a record, him and his wife, and how warm and just the emotion that he played in just that email talking about vinyl. And it was awesome. And it was funny because actually in that email, what struck me is he felt like everything felt warmer. The scratching of the needle on the vinyl, the scratching, the sounds that if you listen digitally, you'd be like, that sounds horrible. But because it's on a record and because it brings you back, I couldn't help think that the only reason we do like that, it's our generation, is because it brings you back to a simpler time when you were a kid and that's how you had to listen. Somebody brought up now without that knowledge and without that atmosphere and without that warm feeling of being a kid again, I don't think they enjoy vinyl the way we do. And that's sad, but it's true. It's like reading his email, I felt the same way. I felt like a kid. I felt like I was in the room with him and his wife while they were listening to it. He did such a good job describing putting on that record for the first, because his wife had been gifted an old player, and it was a great email, Carl. Thank you very much. That was, but it's all about that environment. And it's like listening to that record took you back to a different environment, a simpler time. And it was just awesome. G. Cornell on emails, bunch of emails. He's got Elysium and the entire Mission Impossible collection, and he's going through and he's getting his projector calibrated, and then he's going to get his, and he's going to watch it on his TV, and he's going to watch it each movie once on each. Yeah, that's easy to say. One time on each display and compare and contrast, and what a project. So much fun. But yeah, emails like that, everybody, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Lots to do. Lots to keep up with you guys. And I try to bring a little bit of it to the podcast. I never thought I'd be getting to that point where it's like, can't talk about all of them. It's pretty funny. Okay. Let's get to a featured theater for this week. And, we don't have one. So this week's featured theater is none, but if you'd like to have your theater featured, ran into that last week, just email me brightsidehometheater@gmail.com, and I will post pictures on the website, and I will bring up the pictures here on YouTube, and I will talk about them on the podcast. And like I said, I talk about the environment. So if you have just what environment are you enjoying these movies in? Send those pictures in, and that's the theater. And it doesn't have to be anything extravagant. I go to the website and check out featured theaters, click through all of them. There's a bunch there. And some of them are just a single picture of their screen and a couple of speakers on either side or a sound bar. And that's what they're starting out as. But where do you enjoy your movies? You're listening to this podcast. You clearly have a theater. Send it in. Believe me, we all started someplace, and it's fun to watch them grow. And I add to the theaters as their theaters grow. All right. That will bring us to this week's featured movie, which I've already talked about at the beginning of the podcast. Can't wait. Godzilla, King of the Monsters in 4K. Dolby Atmos. Absolute stunner. I mean, I can't bury the lead. Let's just get to this trailer and we'll get to it.
What we are witnessing here is the return of Titans.
How many of these things are there?
17 and counting.
That's messed up.
Mothra. Rodan. Ghidorah.
Oh my.
They're moving like a pack. They're hunting. They all respond directly. to an alpha. We stop this Ghidorah, we stop them all.
Is there another creature that might stand a chance against him?
Set Godzilla free.
Oh, yeah, sure. Let's bring him in for a beer.
No, this time we join the fight.
Run.
Godzilla's world. We just live in it.
Damn right.
Wow. I'm not going to lie. Little emotional there. That awesome. Yeah. This is Godzilla's world and we are living in it. It's absolutely insane. That trailer is awesome. That trailer just... I loved the part in the trailer where that one character says God and then another character says Zilla. That was pretty cool. But that one of the reasons I really liked that trailer is the scene in the trailer where Ghidorah attacks Godzilla. It's towards the end of the trailer and the three heads go boom, boom, boom and hit him. And they edit it perfectly, throw in the bass notes. It reminded me of when Henry Cavill was cocking his arms in the Mission Impossible trailer, and he's in the bathroom scene. He's like, doof, doof, and you got that really nice bass. But that scene there with the three heads of Ghidorah going at Godzilla, and you get doom doom doom. That's what this movie is. It's an absolute thrill ride from beginning to end. That I don't know. It's insane. Let's start off, let's get the negative out of the way. And it's not negative at all. The picture's great. It's just not fantastic. All right? I gave it two boxes of popcorn, the picture. But that's not what this movie is about. And we'll get into the sound later on. And this movie is about sound. And it's a part, it's a character in this movie. It means something, the entire thing, and we aren't at spoilers yet, but I can't stress enough, this entire movie is about sound. So, the picture, it was nice, it was 4K, it wasn't super high HDR, but it didn't need to be, it didn't warrant it. It was correct. I didn't find it distracting that there was atmospheric, you know, effects like the smoke in front of the screen, so that kind of grayed stuff out. I thought the black levels were appropriate, but it was nothing that you were like that. It's not Lord of the Rings, okay? It's not Lord of the Rings picture, which is crystal clear, because I don't think you can do that with a special effects laden movie like this. I thought the tones in the different cities and places around the world was a nice subtle effect. I thought that was pretty cool. But other than that, it's the brights, like, you know, you've got nuclear breath and explosions and lightning and stuff like that. Everything was appropriately displayed on the screen. And but you weren't there for the picture. You were there for the visuals, the idea of Godzilla coming at you and so, or Rodan or, you know, Mothra. There's some nice Mothra, beautiful scenes across the screen. But this movie, this movie's about the sound. It's all about the sound. It's about how we communicate, how animals communicate, parents to their kids. There'll be a scene that I'm going to talk about that in a second, in a few minutes. It's all about the tone of everything, about all of that. This Dolby Atmos track is one of the best audio tracks I've ever heard. If it isn't the best, it's because it's a character in the movie. Like I said, it's a part of the movie. Twister, it's not even Dolby Atmos. It's an incredible track. Lucy is an incredible track. But what they did is they took a great movie or a fun movie and made it more fun by making a really dynamic soundtrack. But it had nothing to do with the movie. It was, but this movie, it is about the sound. And the bass in this movie is the best bass movie I've ever heard so far. I mean, it's going to be tough to beat. Very discreet. The discreet sounds all over the place. Lots of pans, tons of pans, tons of discrete sounds, tons of everything you can imagine with sound. Too many scenes to possibly list all of them. I can't. I'm going to do my best. That's what I'm here for. But this, let me give you, Jurassic Park DTSX. That seems like a Charlie Brown special compared to this movie. If you're a home theater fan, and you don't own this movie. And when I say a home theater fan, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a home theater fan. But if you said, like, well, I really didn't like it. I don't. Why do you have a home theater if it isn't just to play this from beginning to end a couple of times a year? I'm thinking of putting it on my Christmas list of watching it in December every year because it's so good. But I got to pick a different time of year. But it's just that insane. All right, let's get that popcorn popping because we've got a bunch of scenes to get to here. Just an absolutely incredible movie. So let's get that popcorn popping. It is popping. There it goes. There we go. And we will start at the opening, right where we always start. And it insane, right off the jump with the logo. Really cool looking logo. All red screen, basically WB logo. But the bass, I haven't heard bass like that since Lucy. It hurt. It just bang right away too. As soon as you hit play, it's like, there you go. What a boom. Room shaking, house shaking opening that it's, to be fair, it's going to seem pretty minor by the end of this. Okay. But when you first start this movie and you set it to reference level, man, this is going to be a kind of, it's going to seem minor at the end. Cause I went back and I'm like, oh, it's not as bad as I thought. But right off the, when you hit play, it shakes the house. And then that Godzilla scream too, you get that right at the beginning. But the entire flashback to the scene of San Francisco in Godzilla 2014, which will be coming out later. Right after this, you can hear it right after this, probably with Kyle Chandler. And he's Dr. Mark Russell, and he's screaming Andrew. Great bass, slightly less than the opening room rattle, but only slightly. Pans going on. And of course, we get to see Godzilla right away. And we're only at the 132 mark, you know, of this. And Vera Farmiga, I think that Dr. Emma Russell, she wakes up and that freezes it right there. And it really, really cool. But that basically got you right into the movie. And again, that's going to all seem minor by the end of this. Trust me. I didn't even mark this down, but I did when I was watching it, but it seems like a minor scene now. So I don't really have a picture for it. At the 1 minute and 47 mark, it lines of resolution on the monitor. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. But I don't have an image of it because we have a ton of them. The next image we have is at 4:33. Three boxes of popcorn. It's going to work. Bass is so strong here. It's Millie Bobby Brown and her mom talking in the kitchen. Her mom, Emma, Dr. Emma. They're talking in the kitchen and all of a sudden a gradual rumble starts. It progresses to shake their room. And then, of course, it's going to shake your room. And it's the gradualness is what made this so cool because it started out really soft and it built up. But then as they look out the window to the left, we hear sounds like velociraptors off to the left rear of our room. And of course they pan out and we see they're at a Monarch facility in China, but it was really, really nice and really well done. I love the pan. I mean, we're at the 4 minute mark pretty much of this movie, three boxes of popcorn, and it was an incredible base with an awesome pan. And then we move to the 9:23 mark, Mothra, but not the main part where we meet her. She goes crazy and there's sound everywhere. Great scene for sure, but I want to talk about after they calm her down, when Madison and her mom are looking at Mothra and the sound is in front of you. But when the camera is on them, so the camera shifts and you're looking at them, the sound is perfectly placed behind you. So now you hear a Mothra behind you. Deep, deep bass extension with fantastic localization. You can feel it in the bass. And because of your brain being tricked, you feel like it's on the right side of your body because that's where it's supposed to be coming from. It's awesome. Awesome scene. So that moving on, this is a really quick one. At 4:23, the cabin. Is that Tony Stark's cabin from Infinity War and Endgame? It looks just like it. I was doing so much, I didn't have time to go back and actually research this one because I'm just seeing it now for the first time as it pops up as an image here. But it looks just like the same cabin. Okay, back to the awesomeness. All right, next up, we have Raptor 1 cleared landing. The Raptor plane was cool, but oh, yeah, that's a different one. Sorry, see, I actually eliminated some. 21 minutes and 9 seconds, Raptor 5, big base sweeping in from the left, and then the helicopter rotor blades overhead, the right rear and move, easy for me to say, it's the right rear, I'm having trouble saying it, it starts in the right rear and it moves to the front, and its big base is what makes this pan so cool. It just goes right over you, but you feel it in your room. It's absolutely insane because base isn't supposed to be localized, and you get that here. And I'm stumbling over myself. This is so awesome. This movie really is. You can just watch it beginning to end. And it was so hard for me to eliminate scenes. I pretty much watched this movie like almost 4 times through because I kept going back and watching everything over and over. Whew. At 23 minutes and 20 seconds, Monster Zero. Obviously, we're getting to meet Ghidorah here for the first time. Really nice bass rumbles here. Discreet sounds all around. The score brings some deep bass too, but there's also a nice low ice cracking sound, like when you're on a pond skating. If you've ever been out on a pond skating, anybody in the South that's never done this, you wouldn't know. But when you go out on a pond, the pond will settle and it can be a foot thick. It doesn't matter. It could be 2 feet thick, but you'll hear the ice settle and it does a deep, like a that's what's going on here. And it was really, really cool. I really like that. Obviously brought me back to my pond hockey days. Okay, let's move along to 25 minutes and 18 seconds. Code Red. Base moving around. Whoops, sorry, missed the picture. Code Red. Three boxes of popcorn with overheads. Base moving around the room, literally circling at times as Kyle Chandler and everyone runs. I'm adjusting pictures here on the... Oh, no. Now it's doing its little... Pause. It's doing its little thing there on YouTube. Sorry about that. All right. Anyways. So, yeah. Kyle Chandler is running. Everybody's running down the hall to see what's happening because we have a code red. But the sweeps go over your head from right to left, and the scene plays on for a while with a ton of great bass and a lot of pans. I'd say it's the best scene of the movie, but it literally is just one of many, and it feels like it. Like if you jumped right to this, you're like, this would be the best scene in many movies. But by the time you get to the end of this movie, it's just scene after scene. So like I said, it's hard to say, but three boxes of popcorn with an overhead triangle because there is an awesome overhead pan here. And that's at 25 minutes and 18 seconds. And that's Code Red. And moving on to 27 minutes and 12 seconds, we get Heartbeat. 3 boxes of popcorn. And the heartbeat sounds like it's coming from overhead, but it's filling the room. It's supposed to be fairly quiet scene, but it's one of the loudest quiet scenes I've ever heard. Check that out. It's at 27 minutes and 12 seconds. Really, really cool. At 29 minutes and 5 seconds, interesting. 1 box of popcorn. And this is when Godzilla, he is coming up to the tank. Well, it's not a tank. It looks like the image that's on the screen. It feels like you're at like an aquarium and he's about to swim by. But what a scream. It shook the room. It's just he comes by, he's underwater, and you get the... I can't do the noise. But it's an awesome, awesome sound. And it's that Godzilla sound too. So that really helps. All right. Next up, we have Ambush. 3 boxes of popcorn here too. The initial blast from this, it moved my pant legs. I felt my pant legs move. And a quick note on that. The first time I watched this, I watch it through. I do my timestamps. I don't pause. I don't do anything. So I don't get up and leave. I don't, nothing. I'm just in the room for the entire movie and I'm literally screen grabbing, timestamping away. Boom, boom, boom. And that's when my pant legs moved. Very interesting, because we're 33 minutes and 20 seconds into the movie and the bass was really strong here. But what I wanted to make a note of, I want to tell you guys about, is that the room was pressurized because I hadn't gotten up and opened the door. I hadn't moved around. I hadn't changed anything, but it's just the constant air movement in that room. It was pressurized and that's what moved my legs, my pant legs. I mean, later on when I went back to review it, it didn't do it. And I'm listening at the same volume. I listen back when I actually make my notes. I listen back to this scene and it didn't. I sat the exact same way. I tried to move, loosened my pants. I was wearing the same pants too. And they didn't move because the room wasn't pressurized. Because when I do my review, my notes, I go back through and I'll actually, you know, it takes a while. I'll do like 4 or 5 scenes and I'll go take a walk or something, because that might take 20 minutes to a half hour, 45 minutes just to do 4 or 5 scenes, right? So the room's not pressurized. Every time you open the door, it makes a big difference. So keep that in mind. I mean, that's the first time I've noticed it that bad. So it's true. You need your room pressurized to get that full effect. All right. So anyway, so this scene, the ambush, the bass was obviously really strong, but then as the scene plays out, we're treated to lots of distinct gunfire. And when I say distinct, I mean like very discreet, like pops, really nice, strong little bass pops all over the place. People talking on radios all over the place, yelling and screaming, very engaging and chaotic scene. Just a ton of fun. That's at 33:20 ambush, 3 boxes of popcorn. The next scene, the next scene called Madison, 3 boxes of popcorn. This is the start of a long Sonic extravaganza. Get ready, people, because this goes on for like 10 minutes and I'll tell you when it's over. But this is the beginning of the whole Ghidorah, the fight and everything. So Dr. Emma blows up the ice at 35:47 and that's awesome. It really, really cool. Sounds great. Just like a lot of, like this entire movie. But how they built this scene is really cool. The standoff on the bridge between Madison's parents and the way they lowered the volume in the room, in your room, even changing Vera Farmiga's volume and tone when she says Madison and she's behind her. And that's the image I have on the screen and on YouTube. Using the sound of her voice to Madison more as a symbol than an actual, like the actual words, actual saying Madison, signifying that the mom is the alpha. And that's what I thought was so cool about this scene. And it was watching this movie. Obviously, I'd seen this in the theaters, but watching it the first time and when the way they change the tone, it's like you're hearing it inside Madison's head. You're hearing her mom say, Madison. It's like you got to watch the scene. But this to me is the defining moment of this movie, in that this entire thing is all about that alpha sound and how the your voice and your ears work and how everything works. And it's like, if you're in a crowded room and your child screams, you'll notice it as a parent because you're tuned to your kids. Just like your kids are tuned to you in a crowded room, they're going to hear your voice. And to the kids, that's that alpha voice. They're going to pick it out in a crowd. And it's amazing how we use our ears and we can focus in on tones. And that's what this entire movie is about. That machine that Dr. Emma is using is creating those alpha waves that, no matter what else is going on, these monsters think it's an alpha monster, but they're focusing in on that tone. And this scene is the exact same thing. It's her mother being the alpha, and it's that she doesn't change her tone. They do it for us. And it's just a really, really cool scene that I thought set the tone and really sent the message of this movie. Really, really cool. And I mean, there's tons of bass here. There's a heartbeat like a heartbeat beat like bass going on to the build in the explosion, but just a well done scene that really, and this is where I'm saying this scene plays a character. It shows you that the sound is a character to this movie. Really, really like that. At 38 minutes and 5 seconds, pings. Now this is that, you know, she's about to hit the button on the machine or turn on the machine to get Ghidorah to go up. And this is right before we get to Ghidorah. But the build-up to this timestamp is fantastic with plenty of room shaking, bass and everything. But at the timestamp is when Dr. Emma pushes the button to signal, well, it's called Monster Zero at this point in the movie. And it sets off some pings. That's what I call them. But they ring out like pings from Hunt for Red October. And it's such a cool sound that actually sounds like it starts at the center of your room, not the center front, but like in the center of your room, and then rings out around you like a circle. And it goes in front of you, behind you. It's ringing all around you. All the bass and action leading up to it, this is great. But I felt like that was like setting your ears up for the reduction in volume. And then they get to hit you with this. It's a pretty unique scene. Definitely check that one out too. It's 38:05 pings, 2 boxes of popcorn. They do a lot of that in this movie. A lot of pacing where they bring the sound down. I know some more scenes that'll come up that I'll mention that the sound goes down and then boom, they hit you with a really big sound. At 39 minutes, Ghidorah, 1 box of popcorn. Now we're getting to see King Ghidorah, and it's awesome. It's everything I remember as a kid. Awesome soundtrack. And when Ghidorah kills all the soldiers with his or her breath, I guess, I don't know what Ghidorah is. The clarity of the screams, even though we're hit with a tremendous amount of visceral bass, it's just that the screams of the people is so clear. And I'll talk more about the bass there in a minute too. Really, really cool. Really cool. At 43 minutes and 58 seconds, Godzilla is down. So Godzilla powers up as his spikes glow and the room is coming alive again. Each spike lights up and you can feel it as it gradually builds and goes up his back. It's the picture here is great too, by the way. Like you see those spikes light up. Really, really nice there. But that boom, 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 boom going up his back, that was really cool. Sounded really, panned really well around the front of your room. Really nice. But when Godzilla lets out that yell in his nuclear breath, it's just fantastic. And then Ghidorah fires back and he takes down Godzilla. And he, huge thump. I think there's two of them actually, if I remember right. Godzilla lands, you get that Godzilla scream, he gets up and then Ghidorah hits him again and he goes down and into that pit. And that's where you hear the Godzilla scream as he's going into the pit. It's a fantastic, fantastic scene. At 45 minutes even, the battle ends. Finally, that's that entire scene that I just said we started. There's so much to do in there. I could do the entire podcast on that scene. They're just minute by second, you could do everything. But let's move on. At 50 minutes, there's an undertone here And this is where bass and subwoofers in a nicely calibrated room comes into play. Dr. Emma, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Dr. Emma explains that these are the rightful animals, the rightful people, owners of the earth, and we're getting, and the humans are the disease and the Titans are the cure. That's the type of thing. I always thought the cure was Marion Cobretti, but I guess not. But yeah, she's explaining that all of this that's going on is the Titans are going to cleanse the earth and blah, blah, blah. And we're getting that whole monologue going on here. But underneath all of that, we're getting a really low vibrating bass that you can feel more than you can hear. And it's barely there at lower volumes. So if you're not listening at reference level, even with Odyssey EQ on, which I have on, but at reference level, it's pretty much non-existent because everything's all the way up. But I listened at minus 5 dB and you could barely feel it or even hear it. And then at minus 10, it was practically non-existent, this undertone, bass undertone that I'm talking about. And what I mean by that is it practically non-existent is if you always listen at minus 10, you're probably not getting it. You don't even know it's there. You wouldn't notice it. The reason I noticed it was because I had heard it at reference and then dropped it down and I knew where to listen and I knew what to listen for. And I'm like, oh, that was a nice little thing. But at reference level, obviously the volume of the voices goes up, but so does the bass, and it really engages the room. Big difference. And I'm going to have more on that in the Godzilla review that I do. I learned something pretty cool on that one too. But I'll have more on that and check out the Godzilla 4K review. All right, moving on to this podcast, to this movie, 54 minutes and 40 seconds. We're not even halfway through. Almost there, almost halfway. 54 minutes and 40 seconds, Eruption, 3 boxes of popcorn, and we start with the trampling people in the streets with lots of people screaming, coming all around you, sounds that all around you, the whole room is engaged, and then boom, and what a boom as the volcano, but it's not really a volcano, it's like the prison for Rodan, and the top blows off, and it, what a great punch to the chest. The room vibrates. We got lava, and then we meet Rodan, and he's everything we've always wanted. It's like, I got chills sitting there. I'm getting chills now just thinking about it. I'm like, look at my arms. The whole room's alive. Rodan's scream. I can't do it justice, but I love this scene. Creature double feature with my dad on Saturday mornings, channel 56. All right, moving on. Got to get rid of these chills. Got to keep your composure, Deej. At 57 minutes and 46 seconds, we get a flyover. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Pans, you know me. 1 box of popcorn. Great bass, discreet sound pan. We get the big bomber coming right at us. Tons of great pans throughout this scene. You know, people flying away, planes whooshing around, but this bomber coming at us is, that's why I picked this right here, is it comes at us and the bass, it comes, goes right over you from front to rear. And it's just a whoosh, right, nice deep bass. Just awesome. Awesome scene. And again, everything leading up to that, there's a ton of people flying away. They couldn't, it's unreal scene, but that one little flyover right there, really, really cool. All right, moving on, 59 minutes and 59 seconds, dive, 2 boxes of popcorn, Rodan versus Ghidorah. Again, planes flying all around, lightning crashing, thunderous bass, thunderous jet engines, monsters screaming, the sights, the sounds. Try to watch this scene and not be leaning in your seat side to side, forward and back, and just it like your seat's stationary, but you feel like you need to do this. So much action going on, so much fun. But the dive line is followed by a super deep and very visceral bass that is almost painful as they pull up the big bomber right before it crashes into the ocean. Really, really, I mean, it's going down, and it's insane. as they pull up. Really nice. It's so funny because it sounds redundant. It's just got great bass. I mean, I could have a really short podcast. Great bass. See you next week. At 1 minute and one hour, 2 minutes and 33 seconds, crash landing. In this scene, we get a crash landing inside the big bomber plane. So we get a plane landing inside another plane. Once the plane gets inside, the sound kind of goes a little quiet for a second, and the gap in sound, if you will. But once it touches down, i.e. crashes, the scraping, the bass, the sounds around the room, like the creaking in the right rear, the rotor blades moving around you. And then they're coming at the people, and somebody's on the screen is grabbing somebody and trying to pulling them out of the way because the rotor blades are coming at you and at the people on the screen. And you could feel them coming at you because they're further away on the screen. But as they're coming closer, the sound is coming at you too. Very detailed scene audio wise. Really, I mean, and it matched everything that's going on the screen really, really well. And then at 1 hour, 3 minutes and 5 seconds out of the water. So this is Godzilla coming up. And wow, Ghidorah is still chasing the bomber. And Godzilla comes up out of the water and grabs Ghidorah. And the base, right when your room is calming down from the crash of, like, everybody after the crash inside the plane, everybody's like, are you okay? Are you okay? And next thing you know, boom, you're right back in the thick of it. It's awesome. Awesome scene. Awesome transition right there. At 1 hour, 4 minutes, even. 1 hour and 4 minutes, we get 3, 2. And that's exactly what we got. Nothing. 3 boxes of popcorn for this. The silence after this, the boom, deafening. It was boom. And then we got nothing. And this is where they dropped the oxygen killer bomb, I think it was called, or something like that, into the ocean. The silence really is deafening, but I'm a car painter, but I think that silence before the sharp boom actually lets your ears and brain relax for a second. And then when you get hit with that sharp boom, and it is sharp, it seems that much more potent. Very similar to, like I said, the opening scene of this movie. When you first sit down, you're not ready for this. You're not ready for reference level. You aren't attuned to this. And you're like, oh, what is it? You know, and it feels strong. Go back to that scene after watching this entire movie. You're used to it. It doesn't feel as bad. And I think this is the pacing of this movie. It happened a lot where they brought the sound down and then all of a sudden, boom, they would hit. It's like your ears want to rest. They want to rest from this sound. And when you're like, you relax, then bang, and you get hit with something even louder. And it's really, really cool. Moving on to 1 hour, 6 minutes, even. A new head. Just insane bass vibrating around your room as King Ghidorah looks and sounds awesome, but the guttural noises, loud and gross. As this is Ghidorah's growing, you know, Godzilla had taken a head off, so the other two heads flew the half a head, half a neck back, and they go back to their little volcano home, and they grew a new one. Good for them. So they're part starfish. At 1 hour, 7 minutes and 40 seconds. Like how I laugh at my own jokes. I'm the only one here. 1 hour, 7 minutes and 40 seconds. Tent at 1 box of popcorn and an arrow. So that means there's some overheads going on here. With the 2:39:1 ratio and the overhead sound in this scene, it felt like you were in the tent. In my theater, you know, it's a smaller room, but it felt like my room was that tent. I was in there. You had radio chatter, distant thunder, and the rain hitting on top of you. It's like it was like really on top of you. It was perfect. And it really gave you that sense of environment, that tent environment. And it felt like nice. It felt safe. It was a nice little break in the movie. Like, okay, we're going to be in this room. And it's a little tent with some computers in it and big screens. And a really nice sense of reality of being in a tent right here. And it's all, I think the aspect ratio played into it as well, but that overhead sound and the combination of everything really paid off really, really well. At 1 hour, 9 minutes, Mothra. What a presentation. Just another unreal scene with incredible bass. And at the beginning, when the camera is on the group and the sound is behind you, that's where Mothra is. It was really cool. Another one of those where they switch back and forth and you just look, you know, the sound is panning with it. Just very accurate, very well done. But then, like I said, then the camera switches to look at Matthew and the sound appropriately shifts to the front stage. Really, really nice. And the feel and the intensity is there the entire time with that incredible bass. So it's another one of those scenes where bass isn't supposed to be localized, but you're getting that feel, but it's all around you. And it really cool. There's an awesome one coming up towards the end of the movie we'll get to in a second. But this one was really nice. Really nice picture here too as well for the 4K and HDR and that grand expanded screen at the 2:39:1 ratio and seeing Mothra spread out in the nice colors through the waterfall. Really, really nice. At 1 hour, 16 minutes, and 45 seconds, like an angel, Mothra appears to Dr. Mark on the oil rig as a bright light, bringing with her all the bass and all the presentation of the previous scene. But here we get to hear her talk a little bit. And right at the 1 hour, 16 minute, and 50 second mark, the sound of Mothra, it's like a little like a squeal. And it shifts from being in front of you to now being in the top right corner of your room. And not on the right side, the top right corner. So like not down where the speaker is. It was awesome. Awesome. Like I don't have a speaker there. And I'm imagining even now looking right up at it going, okay, there isn't a speaker there. The sound was coming from literally between my front overhead and then down below would be my front right. So it was perfectly placed in the top right corner. It was awesome. And the visuals are awesome here as well. It just like the dialogue says, beautiful. Everybody's looking at it and they say beautiful. And speaking of dialogue, the next one is titled dialogue. At 1 hour, 20 minutes, and 30 seconds, we get dialogue. The dialogue is perfectly clear here. And there is a strong undertone of bass. And this is I mentioned earlier. So the two characters are talking and we're getting, you know, just a back and forth, more maybe a little bit more of a monologue here. But there is a vibration of subwoofer. The bass is going crazy. And this scene here, I thought, was a perfect example of if you're belief is that you don't need subwoofers, kind of like Lee Overstreet did before he got his subwoofers, right? And you're running full range speakers and that's what you think you need. It's the subwoofers take the work away and it gets you that clean sound. And a lot of people, when you first get your subs, they think, oh wow, my bass went down. It's not as good. No, it's accurate now. Because what's happening otherwise is when your speakers are trying to run everything at full extension, it's going to, instead of giving you that nice deep low bass, it's just going to try to create a sound to give you something like that. And it's going to drown out everything else in the room. So to get that nice undertone of bass and perfectly clear dialogue, you need to have, you know, some good subs and a good audio calibration. And be able to, you know, run everything evenly so that everything sounds correct. Otherwise, it's all muddied together. And I mean, I know this because that's how my system was until I got good subs and then good, you know, an Odyssey EQ and everything. Odyssey, be able to run Odyssey and get my system all calibrated right. It makes a huge difference. And, you know, that's one of the things you'll hear from everybody when they get new subs. They'll be like, wow, my bass went down. No, the sound went down, But the actual volume of bass, the low end, it actually is probably coming up, and now you can feel it instead of hear it. So, just my two cents. More on that, go to HD Guys and AV Rant. All right. Oh, my throat. Moving on to Boston. Welcome to Boston, everybody. I don't recognize that skyline. If you're looking at the YouTube page, I know Boston and I don't recognize that skyline. I'm not saying that's not it. I've just never been up where the trees are like that. That might be from the North Shore, I would guess. Because from the South end, I've been mountain biking up there, but I didn't see that view. From the South Shore, it doesn't look that pretty. Not as much green. Okay, next one we have is Underwater. Oop, what happened here? See? There we go. Underwater. So at 1 hour, 24 minutes and 10 seconds, we're underwater. I just got distracted. I don't know if I gave you the timestamp on Boston. 1 hour, 22 minutes and 30 seconds. Okay. Now back to Underwater. 1 hour, 24 minutes and 10 seconds. The submarine's making its way across the ocean floor here and to deliver the nuke to save Godzilla. And it's just got crazy house shaking vibrations. Plenty of pans around the room. And there's even a pan at 1 hour and 24 minutes and 25 seconds that quickly goes from the front right to the front rear, or the front rear, the front right to the right rear. And then same on the left side. It's like vroom, vroom on both sides. Really nice pans. Just a lot of fun there. At 1 hour, 32 minutes and 50 seconds, the final walk. So Dr. Ishiro, he's walking up the stairs. His final walk, by the way, of course, that's why I named it this. More great bass, really nice room engagement with the score as well. All of the little discrepancies, the sounds of him unpacking the case, the deep bass drum beat in the top right corner of the room as this scene is playing out. Just an awesome scene, an emotional scene, you know. Dr. Ishiro touching Godzilla, saying goodbye. All very, very emotional scene. It's all punctuated by the silence of when the nuke goes off. They did it again. It's like you got this time there was nothing in front of it. It just literally just went silent, and you still had the nice score going though. And I felt like when this went silent and there was no boom ahead of it or anything, I felt like that was like, okay, Dr. Ishiro is gone. Ken Watanabe. And I felt like that was almost like a moment of silence for the character, Dr. Ishiro. I really did, because I thought he was as much of a character in this as the sound and Godzilla. Because it really, he's the one that brought you into what it was like when I was a kid. I mean, the way he said Godzilla, and it was just the ambient, I don't know, just really loved it. And now his character's gone, you know, so... I just thought that was maybe a moment of silence for him. So at 1 hour, 36 minutes and 47 seconds, Heartbeat. So right after Godzilla came back to the surface and Dr. Mark says, nobody move. I think it's Godzilla's heartbeat we're hearing. It's really deep, deep bass. And it's the same pattern as a heartbeat, but way more intense. And it's shaking your room with each beat. It's like boom, boom. And you're looking at, if you look at the image on YouTube, it's like Godzilla's looking down at them. He's come up out of the water. He's looking down at them. And, you know, Dr. Mark is, I think he's making an attachment now when he said he never will. He wanted to kill Godzilla because Godzilla took his son, or he thinks Godzilla did it. But it's that heartbeat. And I think that's that connection. That's what they're trying to relay here, is that he's feeling that this is a real living being. That's what Dr. Mark is thinking. And it's like, and it's that heartbeat. It's really, really strong. So at 1 hour, 40 minutes and 3 seconds, on top of Fenway. So Millie Bobby Brown is literally on top of Fenway. The wind is blowing. And according to the flag, it's blowing from the north, because that's the way that, you know, you're looking out here. And I just know that. Anyways, but the sound is also coming in from the left of the room when they're showing her on top of the building, and the wind, it's really, and you're hearing the flag snap, you're feeling the wind, really deep, sharp bass notes here. And the sound is moving around the room. Very nice, very distinct. It just, I thought it was a really cool scene. It looked really cool too, being on the top of Fenway like that and the clouds coming in. That is the skyline. But from here, it just gets crazy. Just gets crazy because they're about to destroy Boston. So, and with that note, let's look behind you at 141.52. Behind you, Millie gets blasted by Ghidorah and falls to the ground. She's running down the street. I mean, like I said, I just jumped. What did I just jump? How far? A whole minute. But almost 2 minutes I jumped. But a ton goes on in those 2 minutes. But this is my next note. I don't want to, you know, belittle anything in between. There's a ton of stuff in this movie. Watch it from beginning to end. But anyways, at this scene here, Millie gets blasted by Ghidorah and falls to the ground, right? So she picks herself up, and as she's getting up, she looks back behind her. But you, as you're looking at her, you can hear Ghidorah behind you in the rear channels. It's like deep bass, the creaking animal type sound, and it's been crazy all over your room this entire time. Like she's running down the street. She left Fenway and now she's running down the street. All of that's going on. But it's nice to be able to point out a nice little discreet scene like this because there's so much going on. All right. At 1 hour, 42 minutes and 38 seconds, the Green Monster. And I had to label it that. I mean, Fenway has the Green Monster. I don't think this is a coincidence. Insert jokes here, whatever you want to do. But here comes the real Green Monster, and it's Godzilla just saved Millie with a nuclear blast and knocked down Ghidorah and is now making his way into the city. It's so cool. Obviously the base, the impact from the footsteps, the presentation, the fighter jets coming over, the lightning, the thunder. It's just, it's fantastic. And the image that I have up on YouTube is one of my, for a monster movie, I love this image. And it's Millie Bobby Brown. Her hair is all wet. Her hair is going across her face. And she's got this nice little smirk on her face like, here he comes. I love this guy. And it's like she's just got a nice smile on her face because she knows Godzilla's coming to save the day. And it's like, it's awesome. I mean, the image, there's a nice image. I could have snapped the image of Godzilla coming at you with the planes around him. It's like they're coming in force to take down Ghidorah. But it's, I love this image. I love the composition of the shot where she's on the kind of the right half of the screen. And you have the fire and everything going in the background. And you're like, if you just looked at this out of context, it's like, why is this kid smiling? But look at that picture. It's like fantastic, fantastic shot. And just great presentation of like, all right, here we go. This is, we're getting to the final end scene here where he's battling and here comes Godzilla. And then we move to 1 hour, 44 minutes and 48 seconds. Madison. So this, the first Madison scene was in quotes. This Madison scene is an exclamation point because Dr. Kyle is yelling for his daughter here. And the camera is focused on him, keeping him like front and center. But the camera's pivoting around him. So he's moving and the camera's going around him. And he's trying to look for Madison, but the sound that is behind the camera keeps panning. And the sound that's behind the camera, it's nothing big. He's just literally under the monsters that are fighting. Like their legs are around him. And this sound, this battle of these two monsters is going on around him and it's panning around your room. And his voice is locked in the center of your room, in the front center, because it's perfectly placed. Perfectly placed. It's just unreal. I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. Again, more goosebumps because this scene is insane that your whole room is, it's panning around you. I think it's counterclockwise. I'm sorry. I think it's counterclockwise around your room. And it's not a single sound. It's that battle, but his voice is locked dead center. Perfect. Perfect. All right. Excuse me. Sorry. My voice. I'm losing it. At 146.20, the Prudential. goes down. just an FYI. I'm pretty sure that's the Prudential Building in Boston. It's a pretty famous building in Boston. Big building, glass building. And Godzilla pushes Ghidorah right through it. Boom. Down goes the Prudential. All right. At 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 hour. Oh, sorry. 1 hour, 48 minutes, 28 seconds. Electricity. Ghidorah goes for the power lines here, and the power lines are sparking off at the bottom left of your screen, and then Ghidorah dives down to the bottom left in that direction, and the sound is appropriate. It sounds like it's like Ghidorah looks down there, and that's looks down to where it should be, and that's where it sounds like it's coming from in your room. And then as Ghidorah is biting down on the electrical, the pops are going off in front of you like discreet, like firecracker pops, like pop, 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 pop. But they're moving. The sound is moving around the front of your screen, popping all around the front of the room, front stage, whatever you want to call it. And then when Ghidorah is all powered up, the sound just explodes through the room. And that's the image I have on YouTube here. Just an awesome, awesome image. And then the next scene we jump to is at 156:57 from here. But in between, it's just the Mothra scene where Mothra sacrifices herself. That's really, it's just really cool. It plays out through here. Ghidorah blows up Mothra, but then Mothra gets sprinkled all over Godzilla and it brings him back to life. And that's where we are at 1 hour, 56 minutes and 57 seconds. Long live the king. And that's the last thing that Dr. Emma, I think her name, if I remember right, so it's all a blur. That's the last thing she says before Ghidorah kills her and blows up like the city, basically. And the monsters, the Ghidorah's looking at her right before this, you know, Godzilla goes full nuclear here. Because she, you know, she knows Godzilla's going to go full nuclear, however you say it. But awesome, awesome scene here. The bass, the monster screams, the score, the repeated ramping up as Godzilla's like, vroom, 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 and then boom, blows up. And that's what's killing Ghidorah, blowing Ghidorah apart. I thought that what a great way to end the movie. I thought this was it, the last scene, because it's such a strong scene. It's Godzilla, it's everything. But then, just like I said when I did Godzilla 2014, I thought, like, okay, this is the last scene. Oh, wait, one more. We're not done yet. And at 1 hour, 59 minutes and 10 seconds, 3 boxes of popcorn, one more blast. And they did a little trickery here because after the final blast, everybody there's rubble everywhere. And you see Ghidorah's head, one of the heads come up and you think Ghidorah has survived. But we know, we've seen the movie. It's just one of the heads and it's being brought up inside Godzilla's mouth. But it's still alive. It's just there's no body. It's just the head attached and it's pretty long neck. And the end of the neck is in Godzilla's mouth with the head out screaming. And that's moving across the front of your room as that sound of the scream is panning appropriately. But then Godzilla is like chomping down on it, eating the neck from the long end, from the other end, the body end down. He's working his way to the head. And then right when he's about to have the entire thing in his mouth and have that take the head in, instead of clamping down and crushing the head or anything like that, he does one more nuclear blast and the blast comes out of Ghidorah's mouth, which is in Ghidorah's mouth is almost at the center of the screen. But the blast shoots to the back right corner of your room super loud. It's awesome. Absolutely awesome. The entire scene from beginning to end is so incredible that it's just the idea that he's chomping down, the head's still alive, but then that blast coming out, going from the front of your room to the back right, you want to whip your head around and look at it. It's awesome. That's how you end a monster movie. Incredible. And it's like, well, that and all the monsters, surviving monsters from around the world bowing to the king. That's how you end the movie. But what an ending scene. Absolutely incredible. Unbelievable. I absolutely love this movie for sound. And it's, I don't know, honestly, I don't know how they're going to top this when we get to Godzilla versus Kong. I really don't. I can't imagine they can, because this is from beginning to end. It was action, 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 sound, sound. And it's like I said, I can't stress enough how important the sound was to this movie and how it was a character in the movie, because everything was based on the sound. That machine, the scene with the mom and the daughter, and the everything was based on sound. Really cool. Really cool. I don't know if they're going to have that good of a story in Godzilla versus Kong. I'm hopeful, and I'm going to love it. I know I'm going to love it. So that'll do it for this week. Thank you. Thank you for listening. This has been a long one, but I've loved every second of this movie. I hope you guys did too. And thank you. All right, let's get to it. Patreon supporters, the 12 of you, thank you very much. Standing strong at 12, really happy. Anybody want to jump up? Who wants to be lucky 13? Woohoo! All right, that would be great. 13 Patreon supporters. And Twitter followers, Home Theater Hobbyist, Todd Gerdes, and Blockbuster Rob. I can't even say Blockbuster. Blockbuster Rob, thank you very much for following. Thank you very much for participating. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm going to go rest my voice, because I've got one more of these double features to do, and I'll be back with that one. You'll be able to click on it. I don't know if I'm going to attach it or make it a second. But everybody, have a great week. If you skip the other one, don't skip the other one. I'll be back with the Godzilla in 4K, and then next week, I'm back with another special guest. So I will see you guys later. Have a great week, everybody. See you over on Godzilla in 4K. Take it easy, and go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production, with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.